We're live. Let's get down to business. Welcome back, everybody, to the Trade Readers Podcast, the comic book club, where we read a different trade paperback every single week. I'm Daniel. You're Nathan. We're brothers. We read comics.
We sure do. In a slightly different setting this week.
Yeah, we're at your house.
Yeah, we're at my shitty house.
Yeah, now so your house is pretty cool.
You got to look at the things on my wall now.
Yeah.
Including original art by Joshua Hickson, not trying to flex or anything.
I have no original art.
That guy who you told me about last week, and I already forgot his name, Joe.
Jason Metcalf,
that Moon Knight piece. Yeah. Pretty cool.
Anyway, we got time codes, Nathan?
Yeah, we sure do.
And we got Kilala barking in the background.
Yeah, we got our podcast dog, Kilala, this week.
She's very upset she's not on the podcast.
Yep. Yeah, we got time codes. We got some for the news.
The book. We're going
to talk about the comic book news.
The back matter.
What are you doing?
Hey, mama.
You're staying in here now.
Hey, mamas.
Yeah, we got the news, where we talk about the comic book news, and we got
pull list in the back matter.
Yes, we do. All of them. They're all going to be in the description, aren't they, Daniel?
Hey, Kilala. Why are you barking? It's echoey in here, dude.
Daniel, let's get into the news.
Hey, then, big news. Kenobi news? Delayed, Nathan.
Oh, really?
Delayed 2 days.
Wow.
But they're going to be...
So the 27th now?
Correct. And they're going to be releasing 2 episodes on the premiere.
Okay, that's fair.
Yeah, I like that shit.
I mean, that's a good compromise, I feel.
Yeah.
What's 2 days going to do? Why? Why would they do that?
It's a great question. I don't know. I'm sure someone knows.
They're like, let's delay it 2 days, but then release more. That makes sense.
I think it's more like the day that it releases on is like a Friday or something. Or just a better day.
Oh, switch it in the week. Okay. Daniel.
Yes, sir.
Mark Russell and Mike Allred team up for Superman Space Age.
That's correct.
It's a mini series.
3 issues. 380 pagers.
And they're all going to be $10.
Holy shit.
Which is, I think, pretty good, right? Because if a normal comic coming out would be like $4, let's say, and it's like 20-something pages.
I guess $10, if you look at it like that, it's fine.
I'm looking at a price per page scenario.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So the triple P is pretty good there.
Price per page.
Yeah, the PPP. But it looks pretty good. Did you see the cover?
Yeah, it looks fantastic.
Very Allred, very spacey. And I love Mark Russell. He's always doing good stuff. Mm-hmm, so we love that.
And then speaking of new projects, Tom King and Chris Burnham on Dark Crisis Superman. Did you hear about this?
No, I didn't.
That's today news.
Oh my God, today news? I was trying to find today news.
Oh my God, you're not good at finding today news because I'm the best.
Oh my God.
Let me show you the pic.
This just in, Liam Sharp replied to a tweet I had.
Nice. This is like concept art or like the picture or something. It's like Superman and there's like a Super Robin or something. I don't know who that is.
Okay, I did see that cover from Chris Burnham. I follow him, but I didn't realize that was a Tom King book. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, looks good.
Yeah.
He's got an interesting style. It looks very like, it reminds me of Die, Die, Die.
Yeah.
Pretty cool. Pretty excited.
We got round two of DC's Round Robin.
Are we gonna do this every week?
Just the tragic news is that Captain Carrot lost.
Fuck.
And we have the 3 series that include Green Lanterns in them in the second round. So we'll see how many of them survive.
I'm sure this is what you wanted. You probably sabotaged Captain Carrot.
I created 1,000 bot accounts to vote on the Twitter poll.
Apparently our influence was not enough to get Captain Carrot.
It was not. The next round. That's going to be my goal, is to be able to just overthrow a round robin, because it seems like they're going to be doing it every year. So if we keep growing, we'll just mobilize our forces of audience listeners.
Best option is to be the best writer out there. And then DC will ask us what we want to do. And we say, Captain Carrot, goddammit.
Yeah, that's the only way we're going to be able to get a Captain Carrot series, is if we do it ourselves. But what's also interesting is that if the current 2 Green Lantern series win, then they're going to be facing off against each other. So Ooh. It seems a bit rigged in that sense.
Yeah, I don't like that.
Yeah.
It should be 3 Green Lantern series in the final 4.
Yeah, but I think one of them is going to get beat out by Superboy. And yeah, I don't know who's going to win at this point. There were some upsets, I feel like. Justice League Redacted got knocked out for Suicide Squad Dark.
Fuck yeah.
So
that one was winning last time we looked.
It was, yeah.
I'm cool with that though.
So
I got a new favorite now.
Biggest upset was Captain Carrot, but I guess we'll see next. Oh, we also have some of the creative teams that were assigned to them.
Any exciting ones?
Cy Spurrier on the on one of the Green Lantern ones.
Okay.
Which is The Light at the End of Forever. That's old man John Stewart.
Okay.
Other ones include Zach Thompson, who I've seen on some stuff, Brian Easton, Kenny Porter writing, but Most of the artists I didn't really like recognize, but you get to see some promo art from them, which is pretty cool. So
maybe
some
it's more like context. Maybe it's like a way to for DC to kind of expose the newer creators with like, you know, interesting titles and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Which seems like a good thing. I mean, Cy Sperrier is not new or anything, but
I just realized that I haven't voted on the Trade Waiters Twitter account at Trade Waiters Pod if you're not following. So I just double voted Daniel.
Hell yeah.
Anyway, what else you got, Daniel?
Let's see here. Nathan, the Crow is going to have a reboot with Bill Skarsgård.
Like a comic?
No. Like the movie.
Oh.
You know the movie The Crow?
I'm familiar, yes.
It has that one Bruce Lee's kid or something.
I've never seen the movie.
But neither have I, but I know of it.
Okay.
There are Crow comics. So
that's the comic.
So
news.
That's the news.
Daniel, there's the secret origin of Thor is going to be revealed in July of 2022 with Avengers 1 million BC.
Cool.
They're going to follow up some more of that story. And so here's the promo art. Looks like there's a little Phoenix logo. And the limited that they did show of 1 million BC, it looked like Odin and Phoenix were like together.
Ooh.
So we'll see what's going on there.
So but he's the son of the Phoenix, the Dark Phoenix, apparently?
No, I don't think so. But, I don't know. Well, maybe he is.
Stepmom? I don't know.
Okay. Yeah, true. True. Hold on. I'm going to put Kilala away. She just like barks at nothing. Like, I think she'll hear like a car driving by outside and be like, they're coming for us. I swear to God.
Which is all the time. Yeah. You're right next to the street.
And like, these are pretty thin walls. Like, I can kind of hear what's going on outside very clearly. Mm. So
Nathan, RDJ working on two Sherlock Holmes shows for HBO Max.
Two of them.
Two.
Two separate ones.
Two separate ones.
Is one Watson?
I hope so. That'd be sick.
Yeah, that'd be kind of cool. That's all the news I have, actually. It was pretty very light week.
You know the director David Fincher?
Yeah.
He's working on a movie called The Killer, which is based off a graphic novel. And it just wrapped filming.
What's the graphic novel called? Is it called The Killer?
The Killer, yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I'm unfamiliar with that, but that's pretty cool.
Yeah, good things.
He almost did a adaptation of a Bendis book called Torso.
That'd have been so fucking cool.
Yeah.
Oh, I'd watch the shit out of that. I love Torso.
That was like pretty far in development and then it ended up not happening. But yeah, I remember Bendis talking about it on like an interview.
That sucks. That'd have been cool. Why can't like the clearly good like options just happen?
I don't know. Yeah, because I feel
there's
like
there's tons of cool shitty movies that come out.
Yeah.
that are based off of nothing.
But not enough good comic book movies.
Yeah, that it's no one would know it was a comic book. It's a crime book. You know?
I know. I love the movies that come out that are good, and then we could just be like, that's a comic.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You like that movie?
You have comics to thank.
Yeah. Yeah. You're welcome. Like we made it.
Yeah.
Nathan,
mm-hmm.
You'll like this news. Warner Bros. Put a pause on all projects, including Ezra Miller.
Yeah, I did hear about that.
That's probably good.
He's beating up people at karaoke bars.
Yeah, and choking women.
All you gotta do is just nothing, and you fucked that up.
Just like stay.
You made it.
Just stay in the house.
He's like, I've done nothing for like 8 years. It's time to go crazy.
Yeah, I guess so, man.
So that's probably a good thing. Do you think they'll recast?
Dude, you can like probably.
I think they flashpoint and recast.
You can literally go to a karaoke bar and have like a private room with you and your friends, and then just be amongst your friends and picking those songs, you know. Yeah. You don't have to be with other people.
Yeah, also it's a karaoke bar, so just like deal with it.
Yeah, it's not fun, but just don't go there.
Yeah, crazy.
That's all the news.
Okay, cool. Yeah, bit of a light news week. That's okay though.
Yeah, that's all right.
Yeah. Let's get into the comic book that we read this week, Daniel. It's called The Weatherman.
It sure
volume
is.
One by Jody Lehuep.
Lehuep? I have no idea either.
Artist Nathan Fox. Colorist Dave Stewart. Letterer Steve Wands. And designer Tom Muller. This is an image book. It's pretty kick-ass. Pretty full of action. What did you think of it, Daniel?
Oh, I have to fucking find it. I'm on the wrong app. It was fun. It had like a ton of potential, but something happened in the first issue that was just unforgivable for me.
Yes.
So that definitely put a sour taste in my mouth for the rest of it.
Not only did it happen, but they doubled down on it.
They absolutely did. So a couple things. The artwork was fantastic. Probably my favorite part.
Yeah. Nathan Fox is insane. He's a really good action artist as well.
Yeah. Good action artist. A lot of good colors in here. Some of the sequences are a little hard to read, but maybe I just like wasn't sure what I was looking at.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Something I noticed is that the covers remind me like a lot of like manga. It just kind of looks like a manga book when you look at the cover.
Yeah, I could see that.
So that was kind of fun. I don't know if that took any inspiration, but
this feels like it would be kind of like a manga concept.
Yeah, I could definitely see that.
Yeah.
And what I liked is that the first trade really felt like an arc, you know, like not just like you can, it's clear that there's more.
Yeah.
But it did feel like things were kind of wrapped up.
Yeah. It didn't feel like we stopped in like the second act.
Yeah.
It felt like there was a thing that happened and then we got to go fix it
kind of deal. There's going to be some more later.
And there's some mystery in there, but we uncover some of the mystery. And I think just like the general concept behind the main character, I think is a lot of fun to just like play around with and think about.
Yeah.
And you're just like, what if I was in this situation?
Mm-hmm.
It would not be very good.
Yeah, I didn't like it either.
Nope.
I'm going to put her in the room.
Issue one, Nathan, unless you have some overall thoughts you want to mention.
Nope. I enjoyed it. It does move very fast, so you have to be very good at paying attention, which I'm not good at all the time.
Yeah, I guess so.
But I thought
the pacing was pretty good.
Yeah, I think they have a lot to cover, especially in like this first issue, and I think that they're pretty successful with it.
Mm-hmm.
And everything that's going on in this world is interesting enough. Like in the backgrounds, it's like in the future and stuff. So all the concepts, I think, are a lot of fun.
Yeah. So we're on Mars, Nathan.
Yeah.
The year 2770.
How do you think they say it? Do they say 2770, you think?
Probably.
Yeah, it's like the catchiest way to say it. Humanity is like spread across Mars and Venus, apparently, because of a mass genocide that happened on Earth, unfortunately.
Well, is that what happened, or were they gone and then the mass genocide happened on
Earth? See, I don't understand that either. It seems like there was a mass genocide on Earth, and they're like, we need to get out of here.
So there's like whole ass cities, and the genocide was like 7 years ago. So I think just some people were left on Earth.
Yeah, that's...
You know what I mean?
I think, yeah, that's a good point. But Nathan Bright is our main character, and he's like an arrogant, cocky weatherman personality for the civilization on Mars that's called Arcadia.
So don't get too excited that the main character's name's Nathan, because there is a broadcaster, and his name's Dan.
So, oh, really?
Yeah, we're both in this.
Oh, shit. Well, who's the main character, though?
Amanda.
That's funny. It's like we're in this book, Daniel.
I know.
They don't look anything like us.
Yeah, because if you look at this panel where he's like brushing his teeth, it's like, thanks, Dan. The president's annual address.
That's funny.
Yeah, I'm like, I was kind of looking for that.
Yeah. There's like an interesting aspect of this world that I wish they expanded on a little bit more, and it seems like companies can more or less purchase like sunlight and weather conditions.
Yeah.
Did you catch that? Like,
yeah, I've caught it a couple times. Like corporate entities can just like pay for good weather if they have like a company picnic or something.
Yeah, which I have no idea how that works.
Which sounds sick. If like the crops are dying, just give it a bit of rain.
Do they just like have artificial weather then? Because I guess Mars isn't normally like habitable.
Yeah,
like
I don't think it has clouds like Earth, because I think you need like water for that, right?
For clouds?
Yeah, for clouds. Yeah.
Clouds are water, yes.
Yeah, and so Mars has no water. So science, Nathan.
Yeah, I guess so. Maybe in 2770 it does.
Maybe.
Maybe someone brings some water.
They just brought some water.
They're like, you know, this place is a bit dry.
They just bring some water.
Yeah. But yeah, I think that's a funny idea that people can just like purchase the weather and be like, I really need sunlight this day.
Yeah, no, that's fun.
I wish it was like that. But that kind of gives Nathan a bit more like popularity than just like a standard weatherman would, I feel like.
Yeah, he's just like a comedic guy.
Yeah.
He's very off the cuff, and he improvises because he's a slacker. He shows up right before.
He actually seems interesting.
Yeah.
Which, not to knock any of our weathermen that are clearly listening to this podcast right now. We pull in a lot of weathermen. I don't know if you knew this. Some of our metrics are like normal people and then weathermen.
So, yeah, specifically.
So thank you, any weathermen that are listening.
They're all tuning in for this episode.
Yeah, specifically. Exactly. They're like, oh, this is for me.
This is their favorite book.
Yeah. They need to know what's happening in 2770.
Right.
So Nathan's dating a girl named Amanda, and they talk about like hoping that the people that killed Earth are like found, because they don't really like know who did it. But back at Nathan's place, they're attacked and his dog Sadie is killed, and then
shot in the head,
shot like straight in the head, just out of the blue.
Yeah.
And then we find out that Amanda, the girl that he's dating, is secretly a secret agent as well. So there's a lot going on here. But the thing that my rule, if a dog dies equals bad thing.
Subjectively a bad book.
Yeah, bad book. And so the not only does the dog die and get shot in the head, you see its wound and its brains, and then you just see it multiple times.
Yeah, they bring because he goes back to the dog after like the action scene's
over.
He
like holds it.
Yeah, and then in the next issue,
it's awful.
He's like held up by his hands and he's hanging there, and then they put the dog around his neck,
which is awful. It just makes me feel bad.
And it's like a golden retriever.
Yeah,
named Sadie.
Sadie.
Sadie's done no wrong. She's the best dog in this book.
Yeah, she was. I mean, there's not many dogs in this book.
Yeah, so best dog in this book.
Exactly. Yeah,
she's a sweet girl.
And then after the attack, Amanda holds a gun to Nathan's head, saying that he's under arrest for the murder of Earth. It's 18 billion people.
Yeah.
Which is so many.
I was like, is there even that much room on Earth for 18 billion people?
8 billion now, and we're fucking up.
Yeah.
It's too populated.
I mean, if you think about it.
To double that seems a bit crazy.
Think about it. If you take a road trip like anywhere in America to like another state or something, there's a ton of dirt.
That's true.
So they just put houses in the dirt.
True.
So
I don't know if it'll fit like twice the population of Earth in there.
I think so.
But it could. Yeah, you're not wrong.
Have you seen Texas? Have you ever driven through Texas?
I've driven through Texas, yeah, a little bit.
Fucking sucks. Yeah. I mean, no, not Texas sucks, but like driving through it sucks.
I guess if you also think about it, there's like close to nobody living on the ocean.
Yeah.
Just build big boats.
Basically zero.
Build big boats.
Is Antarctica even real? Like,
I think people have been there.
Is it like even like land though? Or is it just ice?
I think it's just ice. I don't think it's land.
Exactly. Just get more ice and there's more land and more houses.
Better yet, just use the ice. It'll be fine.
Yeah. Your house can float around.
So, okay. I guess it can fit 18 billion people.
Because some people like retire and like they've sailed the world or something. Yes.
Yeah. Just keep doing that,
I guess. Which seems insane, but...
They know the action's very good in this book. Nathan Fox is an incredible action artist. He does a lot of like the speed lines for when people are like swiping with like their axes or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And the lettering in the action, I don't think I've ever seen this much lettering in action, but it's like every panel there's like onomatopoeia for like bullets or for like slashes and with axes, gunfire, cracks of bones and stuff.
And like the intensity of it like fits into the artwork, which is really cool, to where it just looks like an explosion kind of thing. So I really appreciate that.
It's really fun. It's like super cool.
He's a great like character artist because these are brand new characters that we've never seen. And kind of like how John Lineman has said it, like, if you can see, like, their silhouette and identify them. Good character design.
Yeah.
So I can pretty much do that with anybody, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, true. Especially, like, this first guy that gets killed by Nathan at, like, the end. Like, he's got some very distinctive, like, design elements, and he's only in it to just, like, beat up some people for a couple pages.
Yeah, so and get killed by Nathan.
I like how creative Nathan Fox is with the art here. Not only that, but he's also good with, like, emotion and acting and, like, character spaces, because at the end, Nathan's holding Sadie, and he's very upset about it, as you would be if you're holding your dead dog.
I was upset, too.
Yeah, I was, too. I made the same crying face.
Dude, what is this Brutal Noodles thing that's at the end of every issue?
Brutal Noodles is a restaurant.
A restaurant in this book, but why is it at the end of every issue?
Because that's a great name for a noodle restaurant, isn't it?
It sure is.
I bet they have spicy noodles there that are pretty brutal.
Yeah, absolutely. I want it to be a real place, and I want a t-shirt that says Brutal Noodles. I tried looking it up.
Oh, they don't sell it?
Maybe I just wasn't looking hard enough, but I did not find it.
Yo, Jody, hit me up. We can have like a joint store, have Trade Waiters and Brutal Noodles collab. We could do this.
That people probably just buy the Brutal Noodles shirts, but
you know they'll...
You accepted this partnership, not us.
Yeah, exactly.
You knew what you were getting
this
into.
This is on you. Anyway, issue two.
We have a contract.
Yeah, exactly. The people of Arcadia are pissed that like their government hasn't found the killers of Earth yet.
Yeah, because it's been like 7 years.
So we get some context and people are like throwing shit at like the government leaders and stuff.
We got a female president. It's about time.
Yeah, thank goodness.
But she's the president of Mars. I don't know if that counts.
It only took 2770 years.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Assuming that she's the first woman female president.
750 years from now.
Yeah. Who knows?
Yeah, it's probably after a long line of female presidents.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Nathan is imprisoned and tortured on a spaceship. He's trying to say that it was like all a mistake. Like he didn't kill the Earth, you know? Nathan thinks that he's telling the truth because he has his memories scanned. And I like just some of the technology that is just kind of like thrown in. Like this dude's wearing like VR goggles or something. And he's like touching Nathan's head and he's like, yeah, he's telling the truth. He didn't do anything.
Yeah.
So I like that aspect.
And then like the VR thing later was a fun idea.
Yeah, there's tons of like cool technology in here for sure.
I love how you can just kind of make up shit.
Like, yeah.
I didn't really think of this as like, oh, it's just a MacGuffin, you know. It actually seems like something that might be a thing.
I feel like
if given enough time.
Yeah, if you set your story 700 years in the future, you can just have technology for anything.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy. Putting the dead dog around Nathan's neck, pretty out of pocket.
Yeah, I didn't like that.
Don't like that at all. Just like,
least favorite part.
Because I feel like if a dog dies, you either like don't see them die or you don't see them as they're dead. And this book does both.
And they like dwell on it.
Yeah. And like,
it's two issues of dead dog.
We see it so many times. Like, that must have not been fun for Nathan Fox to draw, right?
I don't know, man. Maybe it's just like, maybe they're cat people.
Must be.
And they just know that, like,
how many cats die in this book, Daniel?
Because like,
zero.
You can't just like give Nathan like a sister or something to kill or something like that. Just like a, because it's like a secondary character that makes it that dies off in order to make it seem like really serious, mm-hmm. you know, and be like, oh shit, you know, I understand the purpose of death in this context, but
it's just so unfortunate.
What about like, why didn't they kill a cat?
There's zero cats that die.
Or in like,
this book, Daniel.
I don't know, a hamster or something.
That would be better. Yeah. It's not a dog.
A chinchilla.
That would be, I would love to see a chinchilla die. Get shot in the head.
Have I ever told you that I'm fucking terrified of chinchillas?
I don't even know what that is.
A chinchilla?
Is that like a hamster?
It's like a bigger hamster. Look up a picture of chinchilla. They're terrifying.
Are they bigger than guinea pigs?
Yeah, dude. They're like as big as like a really big coffee mug. They're like this big, right?
Oh, I've seen these. Yeah.
Yeah. Let me see. Yeah, dude. And they're like furry. If you like touch them, their body doesn't like, you don't feel the body. It's just so furry and they crawl around on shit. And if it crawled on me, I'd freak the fuck out. You know, like I'm just as terrified of them as like spiders.
It's just like a guinea pig with big ears.
And a tail. And it's really gross.
It seems fine.
No, I would like freak out. Like I saw one in like Petco and I like lost my shit.
You're just scared of animals in general.
No, I'm not scared of dogs. But chinchillas are fucking freaky.
Yeah. Okay. So next time, kill a chinchilla. maybe that's in the Weatherman Volume 2.
Maybe.
So Amanda explains to Nathan that 18 years ago, he was actually a special ops guy named Ian Black, who served. And then after serving, he joined a terror cell and stole the weapon that was used to destroy Earth. And then after that, he underwent a procedure to have his memories removed. And that turned him into Nathan Bright.
What I like about the memory wiping thing, it's like, it's not just some random memory wiping thing. It's like for like trauma patients, yeah, and stuff like that, or like PTSD, mm-hmm, people. So they just like wipe away the trauma.
Yeah. Like there's a legitimate like
medical and mental health reason.
Yeah. Which is cool. I just like the whole explanation behind like Ian Black just steals a world ending weapon and then goes through a procedure to like remove his memories from it.
And this guy's kind of
like, how does he change his hair?
Yeah.
Ian Black has black hair. He goes through the procedure, gets his memories wiped.
And he's fucking jacked. And he's like the perfect soldier.
And then he's blonde.
He's blonde. He's this little goof. He's got like Johnny Bravo hair.
Yeah, he really does. Yeah. So I don't know how that happens, but
I think it's just to be able to separate the two parts of this character, you know? Yeah,
I think so too.
Which I get. They explain like, they're like, this is Ian Black. This is Nathan, whatever.
For some reason, it's believable that he can have his memories wiped, but I don't believe that his hair could just change. that's where I draw the line, Daniel.
Yeah, I know.
But I like how there's like multiple pages of explanation of like that concept, and then Nathan's like, sorry, I wasn't listening.
I like how, what's his name? The leader of this?
Fitch,
yeah. He's a little person.
He looks
and
like...
And it's very clear that if this was ever adapted, the Dink would play this guy.
Yeah, I thought that too. And I also think that he reminds me of like the boss from The Incredibles.
The boss from The Incredibles. Oh, okay.
Yeah,
I was kind of thinking a little bit. You're more correct, but like the chef that's in Ratatouille.
Like, oh, yeah. It's like a perfect mix of those two. Yeah. Maybe that's what they used.
Yeah. Just
as reference.
Just Pixar, Disney and Pixar characters.
Yeah, basically. So Nathan doesn't believe like any of it. He still thinks that he's just lived his normal life, as you would, I think. Mm-hmm. But he's like given a file to sort of look over and he goes to his cell. And then Amanda talks to Fitch, who gets pissed at Amanda for like beating Nathan up. And it's kind of explained that Nathan's past life as Ian Black knows that the cult people that killed the Earth originally are going to attack again. So they need to protect Nathan and somehow extract that information. But then the ship is like ambushed. So Nathan and Amanda leave on like an escape pod and then that whole ship like blows up. So Fitch dies.
Yeah, there was like a suicide bomber amongst them.
Which is crazy.
And like kills Fitch. I like that a lot. That
was me too. I also like the design of like the ship of like the people that were ambushing them.
Yeah, dude, it's got the fucking like fighter jet on the side with the, with the teeth and shit.
It's just like spray painted to just go out and fight in space. I like that idea a lot.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's like the end of the issue too. So pretty crazy ideas.
I wish we got like a little bit more context on like how Mars works here. I'm like, is there an atmosphere? I'm like, is there like an artificial one or something?
It would have to be, right?
Do they have like an oxygen machine to pump in the sky or something?
It seems like it's not just like little chunks of Mars that they've just like built a dome around of. It seems like, because I assume they're like right outside of Mars, like right here, right? When they're in space and we see like the space battle.
Well, that looks like clouds.
So I think they've somehow put like some sort of shield around the entire planet, which could then create like weather for them.
Well, look
them.
At this. Oh, shit. Look at this panel. Like, what are those red things? Is that
the weather, maybe? I don't
know. Ooh, the weather machines, maybe.
Yeah, it could be.
Anyway, moving on. Issue 3.
I just don't know the logistics.
I sure don't.
So issue 3, we get introduced to this guy named The Pearl, who has like this immersive virtual reality tech to trick the mind into thinking that they're in like real situations, like genuinely. Mm-hmm. And we see that as like an example with this guy named Azeem, who's just like this random guy, and he's like getting broken out, and then he gets shot like basically in his face. But when he wakes up from that, it's like he experienced all of that for real.
Yeah. In this VR torture chamber.
Yeah. And in this dream or whatever that he's had, he's like super naked. And I like that his dick is just drawn with just like an absence of like pubic hair shading.
Did you zoom in on that?
I did. I was like, that's his dick. But really, it's like he didn't draw any dick. It's just like that's just the absence of bush is his dick.
I think there's bush. And then there's just like
like his dick is like, this is where
it's just like there's no hair right there.
There's no hair right there. So that's his dick. Yeah. Clever way of drawing it. Never seen it done that way. Good job, Nathan Fox.
Just not actually drawing it.
Yeah.
Because it's very small. Mm-hmm. So can't have a lot of detail on that.
And I also like, you know how the other tech, it was explained that it was for like trauma patients.
Yeah.
There's like a little throwaway line in there where the Pearl says that the developments made to make this machine come from like the porn industry.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Which is like probably how it's going to happen, because like the porn industry makes some of the like biggest innovations in tech.
Yeah. They just, yeah, that's how society will advance.
Yeah. It's crazy. So but yeah, I like that they've given that little throwaway line.
Like if we ever get to the point where we have like robot servants, like in iRobot or something, it'd be because they were probably originally designed to be like sex robots.
Yeah, and yeah, exactly. It's the biggest driver of technological innovation. It's crazy.
Some guys just gotta want it really, really bad.
So meanwhile, Nathan and Amanda, they crash land on Mars, and they're trying to find the doctor that wiped Ian Black's memories so that they can get him back. But on the news, Nathan is broadcasted and deemed okay to shoot on site. So there's like a huge chase with like people of Arcadia and part of like the Arcadia police like coming after him. And I like how just like the Amber Alert equivalent at this place is just like, if you find them, just shoot them. Mm-hmm. I think that's really funny. But there's like a really, we're also introduced to like a drug called Nemonium.
Right.
Called Nemo for short, which is a drug that lets you like relive experiences. And that drug like made its round on Arcadia so that people could like remember their past lives on Earth.
Yeah.
And I think that's an interesting concept as well. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. It's kind of like that Hugh Jackman movie with the water.
I haven't seen that movie. Have you seen Hugh Jackman in water?
No.
Oh.
Hugh Jackman goes for a swim?
Yeah. So there's a sweet like car chase scene. At one point it gets stopped because they're about to run over like a big group of nuns and handicapped people, which I think is really funny. They're like, watch out.
Stop. Not them.
It's like an Austin Powers movie or some shit. They're like, stop. There's nuns crossing the road.
No.
But like the rest of the action is like super fun. Like you see like all the speed
I can't think of a more like innocent group of people that you wouldn't want to like run over.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe like dog walkers or something, but clearly they don't care about that.
Yeah, clearly they don't care about dogs. So thank God they didn't do that.
Yeah.
But yeah, the action's super fun. Like you see all the tire tracks and stuff as they're going super fast.
And then tons of the lettering.
Tons of action, tons of lettering, tons of scree. Like onomatopoeias.
A lot of screes.
A lot of screeches. Nathan and Amanda escape, but Nathan pieces together that when Ian Black gets his memories back, then Nathan will basically like cease to exist. So Nathan takes Amanda's gun and like knocks her out, and he goes off on his own. So I didn't expect Nathan to turn on Amanda there, but I thought that was pretty cool because it
makes
like,
sense.
It makes sense. He like pieces it together and he's like, oh, fuck.
Yeah, because like if he gets his memory back, then he's just like the person who blew up
he's
Earth.
He's Ian Black again. He's just Ian reverts Black. Back to like his last update, you know?
Isn't that a director, Ian Black?
No, you're thinking of...
Is it Shane Black?
Shane Black,
Shane Black. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so people want like revenge for what happened. And
which
so
makes
if you
sense.
Turn him into that person, then he's just going to die.
Yeah.
You know, so
but what do you
I
think?
Don't know why he's going with her.
What do you think? Do you think Nathan should be arrested? Obviously, like Nathan doesn't think he's done anything wrong because like he hasn't. But like he as a person before killed 18 billion people. So like what do you do in that scenario, you know?
That's a good point.
Like what... Because it seems like... Someone would just want to point to somebody and be like, he did it.
You know, yeah.
Give him justice, you know? So it would make sense that they would want him.
Like, it won't bring them back. As long as, like, the masses don't know about him.
Yeah.
Then it should be fine. Mm-hmm. But, like, this guy's clearly a different person.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But
it's not like he found God or something.
But then
he's, like,
create,
legit, like, a different person because he doesn't have the memory he had.
But does that create a scapegoat for people that want to do crimes in the future? Like, if
just say they lost their memory or whatever?
Yeah. They're, like... They let's say like a terrorist does a bombing and they're like, okay, I did the thing that I wanted to do. Now let me just erase my memories. Are they good now? Are they clear? Did they go out into international waters? You know,
that's a good point. I have no idea. Cause like
it's interesting. To think
as long
about.
As there's like enough, like evidence, there's still the person that did that. You know?
Exactly. That's what I think too. So it,
like if you're able to prove that that's what happened, then he might still like get some jail time or whatever.
Yeah, I agree. So good stuff. Issue 4, the issue opens with an introduction to a guy named Garen, who's like a skilled gunman, and he's like selling the drug Nemo to like people. And we also get a dream of Amanda on Earth witnessing like her son die on the day that everybody died.
Mm-hmm.
But this also answers questions and it brings up more questions. So clearly the way that people died is that there's just like this toxic cloud or mist that goes through Earth and it just like burns people alive.
Yeah.
Because we see her kid die, which is also a weird thing to draw on top of a book where a dog dies. You see innocent children
get incinerated.
Like, incinerated. Yeah. But if she was there and witnessed that and is having dreams about it, how come she didn't get incinerated? Like she is in her dream, but like, how did this all happen? You know, how
like,
did everybody
why did it,
not
why
die?
Did it stop right there
That's
where she survives?
Well, in this dream, she gets incinerated too.
Yeah, but not like completely. So maybe it's like a thing where like she...
Maybe either, she just knows that her son died. Maybe the son was like living with like grandma. Because the grandma was also like in this dream as well. But like it just brings up the questions. Like I don't know...
What actually happened?
When Earth died, was everybody on Earth or were they already on Mars? Because it seems like... I think we know that everybody's on Mars because he said that it happened like 7 years
I'm
ago.
I'm sure like only some people chose to migrate to Mars.
Yeah.
So...
Maybe they went in phases. Or something.
Probably.
Interesting.
Or maybe it's like a fancy place to live, like a Scottsdale, Arizona.
Yeah, true.
So you have to be of the right class or whatever.
Yeah, I assume that's how it'll go.
Because you have to pay to get there.
Yeah. Probably not cheap.
I think it takes like six months or something, or years.
6 months is like good, I feel like.
Have you seen The Martian?
No.
Okay. They.
But I have.
I think it's 6 months because he gets like abandoned there and then he like communicates with Earth and they're like, oh, we'll send help. It'll take 6 months. And then he's just like, got to like grow potatoes in like...
I understand the concept, yeah.
Yeah, so it's real skinny, real stinky.
Real stinky.
Maybe it's 2 months. I can't remember.
It's probably six. I feel like six is pretty good. That's like prime delivery like level if you're going interplanetary.
Yeah, but Amazon would definitely have a warehouse on Mars if like
100%.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So Amanda goes to Garen to help for help in finding Nathan. And it's clear that they have like some past relationship because they know each other already. But Amanda discovers that Garen worked for the Pearl.
Oh, 7 months.
It's 7 months to get to Mars?
Yeah, NASA.
I feel like that's pretty good.
300 million miles.
In 7 months?
Mm-mm. Mm,
that's a lot of miles a day.
Yeah, because...
Doesn't matter.
Yeah, anyway.
So Garen used to work for the Pearl, who was the guy that hired the crew to ambush Nathan. So Amanda's like, what the fuck? And then meanwhile, Nathan is kidnapped by that crew. And we're introduced to like the Marshall and White Light is like their names. Those
yeah,
are like the
they're,
two.
They're
the
like
two
bounty groups. Hunters or something.
Yeah. And they clearly have like their own design elements as well. So the Marshall's like a rootin' tootin' cowboy guy. And White Light is mute.
He's like if the Winter Soldier was like overweight and had a cowboy hat.
Is he overweight?
Yeah. Cause like that scene that he does in the end.
Does he got a gut?
Yeah, he's got a bit of a gut. Okay, he just seems like a bigger guy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Not as thin as Sebastian Stan, you know?
And I like White Light seems pretty cool. Like, she's mute and communicates with sign language, but we don't ever really see that much.
Yeah, no.
At all, really. But it is an interesting concept. Maybe it seems like they're more relevant in like the second trade. So maybe you see it then.
Dude, Nathan goes to Brutal Noodles and he gets a Brutal Bowl.
Yeah.
Extra spicy, which sounds amazing.
It does sound so. It looks like a big bowl, too.
Yeah, dude.
I like how his disguise is like a bear costume.
Yeah, where'd he get that?
I don't know.
Maybe. And he's just like, oh, I'll just wear this.
Yeah,
and
he's like, no, we'll be fine. Yeah, it's foolproof.
Not just shave your head or something.
No.
Bear costume.
I like Garen's tattoos as well. Seems like it'd be a bitch and a half to draw, but he's got like a full sleeve and stuff on his arm.
Yeah, I'm like, how does that white just fit so well on his like darker skin?
Yeah.
Very impressive.
The tattoo technology must have improved.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So then there's a broadcast of the Pearl showing Nathan hooked up to like that same augmented like reality tech.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, and then on the broadcast, he outs him as being the one responsible for killing Earth. And he offers like an auction for people to perform like revenge that they want on him for killing like the people on Earth.
Yeah.
And
he does that broadcasting thing where like everyone sees it. And it's like a PSA almost.
Yeah, it is. And so everybody sees it and everybody's like, I want to fucking kill this guy in any way that I want. Sounds pretty cool.
Yeah, because I guess like the top 10 bidders get to like torture this dude till he dies.
Yeah.
And so, but he won't die.
Because
it's all a mental thing, but it'll feel like he's dying.
But if it's too much, though, if there's too many people killing him all at once, I think it becomes too much. I think that they said that.
Probably.
Yeah. Because that would be a bit stressful, dying in different ways all at one time.
Was it revealed that Garen's actually working with this dude, too?
Yeah.
The Pearl?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, cool.
So, issue 5. There's some stuff in the beginning that I think is for next trade, but we see this girl with, like, that's, like, part robot, I think. Mm-hmm. I don't really know what the deal was there.
Is she, like, a robot hooker?
I don't know. But the important stuff is that Amanda uses Garen's ship to go get Nathan. Like, she's on her way to go get Nathan. And then, meanwhile, the auction pulls in, like, a fuckload of money.
Yeah,
like
a couple billion or something.
And then Nathan starts to get tortured by people, which includes him, like, getting burned alive, which is crazy.
Yeah.
Like,
because that was just, like, a sample of, like,
it was
what
like,
it is.
He wanted to show people what they could do. And so he has, like, this civilian named Greta who uses, like, the torture chamber thing. She like takes like the religious route as well.
Yeah.
She's like, oh, thank God I get to do this. And then she's burning him alive with divine justice.
That's what she like calls herself. Cause she's like a superhero in this like thing.
And she's like very religious. Like her design is very religious, which I think is funny, but she's got like a flamethrower at the same time. So
yeah,
it's pretty funny.
You kind of backtrack that like robot hooker or whatever. Mm-hmm. She's got like a friend that can just like read minds. So there's like some superpowers in this like world.
Yeah, and one guy's like a ghost. So
just like a ghost person.
He's just like hanging out. So
pretty cool.
I think that comes into play later, but I didn't really understand what's
going on.
They're
just so casual, like, here's a ghost.
Yeah, here's a ghost and some superpowers.
Don't mess with him. Yeah.
So Amanda gets into like a dogfight in the air with the Bright Light, one of the mercenary people, and that causes her to crash land on her way to go save Nathan. And then the Marshal was like wronged by the Pearl, because I guess the deal was that after the Pearl is done with him, then the Marshal would get Nathan for like for his own.
Yeah.
And that's not the case, because he might die during this auction. So the Marshal just jumps from his ship and he slices the Pearl like straight in half.
Yeah. From head to head, Nathan.
Yeah. From head to head. Yeah.
I was like,
straight down the middle.
I didn't know why he like angel jumps. Like he's in space.
Yeah. So,
and then he jumps down. And then just lands on the ground. No parachute.
Yeah. And the build up there is really cool, because like while he's like on the way down, there's like a bunch of like pink energy or something like coming out of him. So it's very like, it's very anime.
Oh, know? Yeah. For sure.
It's really cool. But like at the same time, like there's, it just keeps showing Nathan getting burned alive. Just kind of like interspersed with like that build up. So issue 6, Amanda and the Bright Light get into like a laser knife fight, which is pretty cool. They have like lightsabers, but they're just like knives,
mm-hmm.
Which is pretty cool. And Amanda manages to like knock out Bright Light with like some UFC moves. She puts her into like a leg chokehold, it seems like.
Okay. Yeah.
And
I wasn't
knocks
sure what was
her
happening
out.
There.
Yeah. Cause she's still alive. We see her at the end, but she knocks her out. And then the Marshal fights the Pearl's crew like after, like fresh after murdering the Pearl.
Yeah. The Pearl's got like this, like, the mountain kind of like bodyguard.
He's got
guy.
Like a minion bodyguard guy. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so the marshal's fighting him and getting his ass beat, and then Amanda comes up and shoots that guy in the back. And then Amanda convinces the marshal to work with her to stop, like, that cult and stop, like, the next Sword of God, mm-hmm. which is what killed Earth originally.
Right.
I like this panel where it's just, like, just the aftermath of the pearl getting sliced, and he's, like, opening from, like, the inside, and we see the marshal through, like, the pearl being cut in half.
Yeah, the brutality in this book is, like, amazing.
It's awesome. It's so bloody. And, like, it's very detailed, because you see, like, parts of his, like, rib cage and stuff, and, like, his back, like, yeah. in there. So he spent some time on it, which I appreciate.
He knows a thing or two about anatomy.
Yeah, it's crazy. And so they managed to break Nathan's tether to the machine with, like, the Nemo drug, because I guess, like, in order to break him out of that, he needs to, like, remember or something, and that'll help him break out safely. So when they give him Nemo, it brings back some memory of Ian Black trying to do good as, like, a special ops guy.
And he used to work with, like, the Pearl.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because the
dude, I think I missed that.
Because the Pearl's name is Jenner.
Oh.
And, like, the dude that's in this, his name's Jenner.
He's so. The one that's, like, making the shifty calls to, like, shoot people, right?
Yeah.
Okay, interesting. I didn't catch that at first, but that's cool.
I was like, wow, big twist.
Yeah, big twist. So what's interesting is, like, if Nemo is able to, like, bring back memories of Ian Black, why don't they just, like, drug him up a bunch of times and see if they can get the memories back that they need?
You can OD on it.
But just, like, give it to him in safe doses. just casually get him addicted to drugs.
How does it come back if his memories were, like, wiped? You know what I mean?
That's what I don't understand. Like, clearly this is a thing.
I think we're thinking a little bit too hard about it.
But I don't, like, think so. Because the whole idea is that he doesn't have his memories. They need to go get his memories. And if this drug can just bring back memories, clearly they're still in there somewhere, you know?
Yeah.
So I feel like that's an important
piece. Maybe it just, like, suppresses memories. Like, yeah. The whatever treatment he got.
But then again, the memories are on, like, hard drives as well. So maybe a copy of them is also made.
Right.
It's very interesting.
Yeah, for sure.
But anyway, they all escape with Nathan. And
they're on a
ship.
New ship.
And they find out that the doctor that has the hard drives of Ian Black's memories is on Earth. So they have to go back to Earth.
And Nathan wants to help.
And Nathan's like, I'm going to help too.
Yep. Yeah. I kind of thought, like, Earth, like, blew up.
It seems like, yeah, it seems like you can't go back there, which is interesting why they're going back there.
When they said that first, I'm like, all right, he killed everybody. He must have blew up Earth. And a sword seems like something that would just slice through Earth or something.
Yeah, they called it the Sword of God.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the weapon that they use, which is, like, the mist that kills everybody. So maybe the mist just goes away or something. It seems like there's, like, these little technological things hovering around Earth. So maybe they help to suppress some of that. I don't know. But you got to read the next trade to find it out.
Yeah.
But they're going back to Earth. How exciting.
It's a Tony Stark's wet dream right here.
Yeah. Yeah, really. A weapon around the Earth.
Yep.
And I like how the Marshal and the White Light team up with Amanda. Because, like,
they're, like, against each other, like, the entire book, basically.
Yeah. And then they are teaming up together for, like, a common goal.
There's also some voice when he was under and they're trying to get to him. That told him to, like, come back. That kind of helped bring him back.
Nathan?
But it was, like, a ambiguous silhouette.
Yeah, I wonder what that was.
Probably someone that we haven't met yet.
Yeah.
But
pretty fun.
Yeah.
That's the trade. Good stuff.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So let's get into Back Matter Matters, Daniel.
Back Matter Matters. Okay, Nathan. We got
tons.
We got all the covers, like the OG covers.
All the OG covers, yeah. We didn't get, like, the covers in between each issue. They yeah, just put really big numbers.
Big twos, big threes.
Which made it really easy to know where we were at. But these are great covers. Yeah. A very strong, like, presence. So, like, if you were to just go into a comic shop, like, this would... It's very bold and very, like, bright. So, it would definitely pop out at you, I feel like.
Yeah, I like the logo design. It's fun.
Me too.
It stands out for sure.
And then we get some variants, which we love. And we get a couple concept designs. And there's a variant, there's a wraparound variant by Nathan Fox.
These variants actually have it typed out. Like, Marcos Martin did this one.
Yeah, Marcos Martin did a bunch, which is pretty cool.
That's cool, because
we like him.
It's annoying just, like, looking at, like, signatures, trying to figure out who did it.
Yeah, so they have it typed on the side. So Marcos Martin did one for every issue, it seems like. He's a great artist.
Mm-hmm.
We got Dan Panosian on one. Panosian? Andrew Robinson did one.
Oh, nice. That's a good one.
Yeah, they had, like, a lot of really fun ones, because they had this, like, recurring theme of, like, super bright neon lights for, like, their colors.
Yeah.
So I like that a lot. Seems like a lot of the artists went with that too.
Matteo Scalera.
There's one by a guy named Bangle. That's a nice. Cool name.
Yeah, it's good. It's a good one.
We get a Cliff Chang. Yeah, Cliff Chang did one, which is really great. Cool. And then James Herron, who I love quite a bit. Yeah. He's a super fun artist.
Definitely.
Ryan Sook, who I imagine is also like pretty hard to get as well.
There's so many variants.
There's so many, yeah. And for like all the covers, like even number 6 had a bunch of variants.
Jeremy Opeña.
Yep.
That looks pretty good.
And then there's a pretty cool page of just like the cast of characters, basically.
Yeah.
They're all just kind of like across a couple pages. Apparently the ship that the crew was on is called the Disco Queen.
Good name.
Which I like.
Yep.
But we get like a solid view of like the Marshall white light.
Oh, wait, no. Jenner and the Pearl are different people. My bad.
Oh, are they?
Or maybe. Yeah, I think so. Because like they're both on the same character page.
Oh, yeah.
They're different people.
Okay.
Weren't they saying Jenner throughout the book?
I don't think so.
Yeah.
There's ghosts, but the S is a 5.
Ooh.
That's like the random ghost guy.
Very scary.
Okay, so the metal girl's name is Metal Molly. But we saw like 4 panels of her, so we don't really know what she's about yet.
Yeah, very, very, what's that game that came out? Cyberpunk.
Yeah, very cyberpunk. Daniel, this is something that we've never seen in Back Matter. They linked their SoundCloud, which I think is funny.
They got a soundtrack.
Yeah. Or the shout out, Magic Sword, Power Glove, all sorts of people. And then some creator bios. So Jody Lehuep, who we know as co-writer and co-creator of Shirtless Bear Fighter.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And that's a lot of fun. But I guess he also did X-Force, Deadpool, Strange Tales, and Quantum and Woody. So that's fun.
Very fun.
And then Nathan Fox did DMZ. He's a contributing artist on DMZ.
Wait. Oh, he was on DMZ? Okay.
He was a contributing artist. I don't think he was like the artist. Okay. But he contributed in some
form. Oh, he's on Hunt. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Pretty good.
Good back matter.
Yeah.
That's like tons of back top matter. Tier back matter for me.
I saw it was like 190 pages and I'm like, that'll be a bit to read through. But then most of it, like 30 pages of it was back matter. So that was nice.
Yeah. I mean, it was like 6 issues. So that seemed like a good page count.
Yeah. But pretty fun, Daniel. What would you rate this book?
I would say it's like let's see here. I'd say it's like a pretty easygoing. Love it. Like, like a cookies and cream with like some cookie dough mixed in there. But
yeah.
But take out the cookie dough because a dog died in this.
Yeah, true.
So just to love it. Maybe I might even downsize to a like it just because of that.
Yeah, the dog death.
So you know if that wasn't in that, it would be a love it.
Okay.
But because of that, it's
valid.
A like it.
Valid.
You know what I mean?
I would say this is like a three-finger combo from Raising Cane's.
That makes sense.
Here's why I say this. The book goes very fast.
Yeah.
And you have to, there's a lot that you have to like remember.
A lot of characters.
Some of them don't even contribute much in this trade. But it is still a very fun book, I feel like.
Sure.
And I rated a three-finger combo because it goes so fast. I eat through that three-finger combo super fast.
Lightning.
Yeah. So that's why I rated this.
Okay. Like fair that. Enough.
Yeah. So it's not quite the box combo, which is what I really like, or not the Caniac either.
Because of the Death of Sadie.
Yeah, because of the Death of Sadie.
Clearly.
Didn't like that. But anyway. Pretty fun, though. That's a good recommendation that we got.
Yeah, from our buddy Sam.
Yeah, thank you, Sam.
We'll probably get around to his other recommendations soon.
Yeah, we got other stuff coming up, though.
Yeah, sure thing.
But let's get into the pull list, colon.
Shove it in your box.
The pull list. What did you shove in your box?
Nathan.
What'd you pick up this week?
We got probably a lot of the same stuff. Batman Killing Time, number 2.
Yep.
Devil's Reign, number 6.
Ending.
Last issue of that.
Ending already.
I was going through your stack here, and I didn't notice that Little Monsters, number 2, came out, so yep. I got to get that.
Yep, but those are the 3 things that I got.
I also got Firepower, number 19.
Is it still Chris Samnee on that book?
Probably. What?
How far behind are you?
Like 9 issues.
That's not horrible,
I think. I think I'm at like 10 right now.
Okay.
Or 8, I don't know. But
it's cool to see him on a book for so long.
Yeah, I mean, I thought he was on Daredevil for a while with Mark Waid. I think that was like his longest book, but I'm not sure.
Yeah, probably his longest Marvel thing, I would say.
Yeah, so, and then I don't even know if he had other things going on when he did that.
When he did Daredevil?
Yeah.
No, I don't think so.
So, anyway, you said that those are the 3 books that you got?
Yep, Batman Killing Time, Little Monsters, and Devil's Reign.
Cool. I also got a Nintendo Switch.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, I got one Tuesday.
That's cool.
Yeah, and then I got Lego Star Wars yesterday.
Oh, so you're going to play it on the Switch?
Yeah, I have been playing it. I'm on Empire right now.
Oh, wow. So you're done with wait, did you start with the prequels?
Yeah, no. You start on the original trilogy.
Oh, okay.
So it's kind of weird. I don't. It goes.
Tell
in
me
like
about
a
it.
Circle.
Yeah, I'm very.
So you start at like 4.
Okay.
And then I don't know if you go to like 4, 5, 6, and then 7, 8, 9.
I would assume 4, 5, 6, 1, 2, 3, 7, 8, 9.
That'd be really fun.
That would be fun
because the other ones are locked. So I really don't know. But at the circle that it's in, I guess that makes sense because it's the circle that it's in is in like chronological order. But there's a lot of really cool things I wanted to mention.
Yeah.
You know how like it's a big map and you got to like run.
Yeah. You just gotta go through it.
It's got like a zoom thing. Like if you're just pushing forward for a long time, your guy starts like speeding up, which is really cool. So you get through maps like a lot quicker.
They start using the force dash?
Dude, yeah. It's like a... but like everyone's got force dash.
Oh, okay.
It's good. Like a speedrunner's wet dream.
Oh, dude, the speedruns on that game are going to be crazy.
I already heard about one that's really funny. So on episode 3, you can't kill the younglings because it's considered like friendly fire. So you can't like break them. But they have these things called combos where you press Y and then you start doing the attack buttons. It just turns into a combo.
Mm-hmm.
But when you do combos, you like go in the air for some reason and then the last attack will like slam them down and break them.
So you're doing a combo and you're bringing the person that you're hitting up in the air with you?
Yeah. And okay. So people have been doing that with the younglings and they can get to the edge of a map doing just combos.
And take them and like punt them off?
I don't know what they do with them, but that's how they can get like off map by like just punching doing these combos for younglings.
That's so funny.
I was like, people are so sick.
That's so funny that they try to prevent you from killing younglings, but then they created a mechanic that you have to like harm the younglings to do.
Yeah. I mean, that's... you can do the combos with anybody, but people are just purposely doing it for the younglings.
That's hilarious.
The maps are like beautiful. They're big. They look great.
Is there voice acting?
There's voice acting. Yeah, I want to bring that up. It's not just like, meh, or whatever.
Can you turn that off?
I don't know. You can turn down your thing or whatever.
Yeah, just mute your
but
audio.
It's like pretty good. I think some might even be clips from the movie because like a lot of it's just like the same dialogue.
Really? Okay. That's cool.
It's very funny. Like, you know, the stuff that they just put in there.
They got the good Lego humor still.
Yeah.
Nice.
That's cool. Playing with R2-D2 is a lot of fun. I remember I had to fight like... black R2-D2s. You know, if they're black, they're clearly evil.
Yeah, they're the evil ones. Thanks, Star Wars.
Yeah, I know. But yeah, it's a lot of fun, and the shooting mechanic is really sick too, like the aiming and whatnot. That's a lot of fun, and the combos make the fighting a lot more fun too.
Yeah, I wonder how similar it'll be to like Lego Marvel, like the Lego Marvel stuff recently.
I think the Lego really Marvel stuff is like the old kind of, it will still be the like the old kind of setup. I would play that just to see all the characters and stuff and play with them.
But the newer, there's Lego Marvel Avengers 2 that came out, and they have some of the newer mechanics. So they have like aiming and stuff that you're supposed to do.
Oh, actually, sick. Okay. I'll have to get that.
It's really fun. Yeah. I like the first one a lot because you get to explore New York and it's like an open world game.
Yeah. Yeah. That's cool.
So that's cool. Yeah. I really want Lego Star Wars, but that's cool that you got it.
Yeah. Yeah. So got the Switch. So I'll be able to invest in Switch stuff.
No character creation though, huh? Do you still start in the diner?
No. It's just like this. It's like a main menu screen kind of thing. And then you just pick the episode you want to do.
Don't like that. I want to start in the diner.
I totally forgot about the diner.
I want to hear the cantina.
It must not have been like that big of a deal. I mean, you go to Tatooine and like A New Hope. So,
okay.
Anyway, that was fun. Have you been playing anything? Or?
Well, I read some stuff, Daniel, this week.
Oh, really?
I read Dark Days or Dark Ages number 6.
Oh, yeah.
That's the end of the series.
Is it? Damn it.
Yeah. And, it surprised me, actually, in a couple of different ways, but I really enjoy how it ended, so I'm glad that it like stuck the landing, you know?
Sick. That's good, because it seemed like it was like a lot of fun stuff in the beginning.
Yeah, it's one of those concepts where it's like, there's so many fun things you can do, but like, how do you end it?
Yeah,
you
know? Yeah.
Like, so I really like how it ended. I think cool. Tom Taylor did a great job with that. And then I also read Hulk number 5, and that book is getting insane.
What do you mean? It's been insane
It's been insane,
time.
But it's more insane now.
I think Donny Cates is just like... when he's writing, he's like, how do I make this insane and make it even more insane?
He's like, last issue was insane, but how do I get more insaner? That's basically what it is, yeah.
He was talking on his podcast about like how insane like the last arc of like his Venom run was.
Mm-hmm.
And he says like, this makes the Rex trade look like super soft, you know? And I thought the Rex trade was fucking crazy.
It was pretty hardcore, yeah.
I just can't even imagine. Like, that's a series that I could read through just because of how insane it is.
Yeah, it keeps the insanity, like, entertaining, but not too much to where you're just like, I don't know what's going on anymore.
Is Ryan Stegman on a book currently?
He's doing Vanish, which is their Substack book together.
Oh, right. Okay.
But it's coming to print, so.
Nice.
That'll be a fun thing to read.
Probably Dark Horse or something.
Yeah, Dark Horse is getting it. But other than that, I don't think I watched anything other than Moon Knight or played anything. Just playing some of the same boring games. So
for sure. We finished Game of Thrones this last week.
What?
Yeah, I know.
All of it?
Yeah, and it was like last Saturday.
You guys are the best bingers I know.
I know, but like it has to be something that she like fucking loves.
Yeah.
And so that like when I get home, she's like, we have time for like 3 episodes. And then like it's like time for bed. She's like, should we watch one more? I'm like, sure.
I guess so.
And so she liked it. She liked the ending and so did I.
That's cool.
And so my buddy, he told me about this YouTube account. It's called Alt Shift X, who like just explains like everything, like a lot of like nerdy TV shows. Like he does episodes on like The Expanse. He did one for like Watchmen and stuff.
Cool.
But he was like making YouTube videos as Game of Thrones is coming out, like explaining each episode, explaining like the like season finales and stuff like that.
Sure.
But he also has like read the books and he like makes videos about the stuff that was just like left out. And it's so fucking interesting. It's like amazing. And
that's cool.
And they're made so well because that shit is the most confusing like lore ever.
Yeah. George R. R. Martin doesn't make it easy.
Yeah. I get why those books took like a million years to make. But like, yeah, it's insanely detailed. And just like the way he explains it is super good. It's like on a Prezi or something.
Oh, nice.
And he's just like, oh, so this is this guy. And this guy fucked up this thing. And like, it's so sick. It's so sick. And so like, I've been watching like a lot of his stuff.
Sounds like he uses Prezi as like a big conspiracy whiteboard with like the red lines and shit.
Yeah, exactly. He like goes back to the same slides and shit.
That's hilarious.
I'm just like, oh man, this Prezi must have been like a pain in the dick to make.
Yeah, probably. He's probably got to pay for like the paid version of Prezi.
Yeah. And through him, I was able to find out that there's like Game of Thrones comics. I'm like, no shit. Because he uses artwork from the comics to like show different characters and stuff.
Nice.
Because there's like concept sketches of certain characters and there's ones that were used in those books.
Mm.
And so I'm like, oh, that's fucking cool.
That is cool.
So
good recommendation.
Yeah, definitely. And so he does all kinds of stuff, but his shit is really fun. And he explained Watchmen, like the entire thing, like everything you really need to know in like 17 minutes, like a 17 minute video. And I watched it and I'm like, Let's see what this guy's got to say about it.
The comic,
yeah.
Okay.
And
I'd like to see, he did stuff for the show though, right? Like the Watchmen show or?
Yeah, no? He did just one video about like the whole season.
I'd like to watch that because that show, like, there's I want to rewatch, but there's like a lot in there.
But no, there was like shit he said in like the book video that I'm like, I didn't fucking notice that. It was like amazing. Like
I believe that.
Like the themes and stuff that he was just able to point out that I just like never realized and. Mm. Yeah, really good shit.
That's cool. I guess since we're on the topic of YouTube channels, I was watching more Strip Panel Naked YouTube videos, which is the guy that like takes cool comics and he's like, here's why this is so fucking cool.
Mm-hmm.
And he did a video on Hedra by Jesse Lonergan.
Mm.
And that's a really, he brings up a lot of really cool points there. But he's also done some for like Saga and stuff, which I enjoy a lot.
Yeah.
So I've just been watching more Saga videos.
But that's cool that he's doing like those kind of like smaller like one shots and stuff like that.
Yeah. Yeah, so
he's a
great YouTube. He has a great channel.
I watched James Wan's newest horror movie called Malignant.
Oh yeah,
have you seen that?
I know what it is. I haven't seen it though.
What do you mean know what it is? Like you've seen it somewhere or seen around like the
I saw
poster
the
or something.
The trailers and it came out very recently. So
yeah, like last year. So I'm not gonna spoil it because I think you could be able to watch it because I want you to watch it.
Okay.
It's not very scary. Maybe you can get away with watching it with Sophia. Like, obviously, there's scary imagery, but it's not, like, jump scares.
That's too much for Sophia, I think.
Really? Okay. But,
Sorry.
So, it's, like, a little cheesy, but, like, on purpose for some reason. Like, some of the dialogue is just, like, cheesy. Like, oh, like...
Like, there's a reason that it's cheesy?
Kind of, yeah. I think he just does it because, like, it's not the important part of the movie, you know? There's just dialogue just to keep it moving. And I think he just like purposely makes it cheesy for some reason.
Okay.
Like there's this one bit that's just set in the 80s and it's just like, don't go in there, you'll die. And it's just like, I was laughing at this movie most of the time, but like it looks so good, like cinematically, mm-hmm. and just like the like really high end cameras and things like that. But Nathan, let me tell you, this is the craziest fucking movie I might have, maybe I've ever seen.
Wow.
I think this might be like top three horror movie because of how fucking crazy this movie is.
Huh.
You think you know where it's going. You don't. You do not know where it's going.
Where'd you watch it?
It's on HBO Max.
Really?
Yeah. Okay, I watched it and the end is like one of the greatest fucking things. I'm really hyping it up.
Wow.
And you really shouldn't have, you know how I hype things up. And,
I hype things up too though.
But like, I loved this movie, Sarah. But here's also something to think about. Sarah like fucking hated it.
I feel like you guys don't like a lot of the same things.
No, we have opposite opinions. The only thing we've agreed on lately is like Game of Thrones.
She but, fucking loves Adam Sandler movies though, so it's kind of hard to
yeah,
get her to watch
yeah.
a horror movie.
So it's hard to trust her. But this movie, I think it's only like an hour and a half, maybe 2 hours. But I had so much fun with it. And if anyone likes horror, please watch it if you haven't.
Damn.
It's so much fun.
I'm going to have to do that then. That's cool.
But yeah, if you're able to, definitely get around to it.
Like that.
I did not watch Moon Knight.
Okay.
Because, you know, I don't have a good reason, but I just haven't.
I watched it. It's a lot of fun.
Cool. We should talk about it next week.
Yeah.
And we'll get more in depth.
Have you seen anything on it on this episode?
I heard that I got a spoiler from Twitter that there's like a Peter Parker cameo.
No.
Okay. Fake.
unless I missed it. Maybe Tom Holland's on the screen.
I'm glad it's fake then. Why?
Without
spoiling it.
I mean, you know that Mr. Knight is like in the show.
Oh, is he in this episode?
He's in this episode.
Cool.
And I like how they implemented it. It's different than like what we read last week, where it's like Mr. Knight as like a civilian.
Yeah.
It's different, but I think it works, and I think it's cool.
Cool.
And we find out more about how just like the whole... like Mark Spector thing works and Khonshu, you know, having avatars and stuff like that. We get a lot of context this episode.
Uh-huh.
And it's super cool.
Nice.
So I enjoy it. I've seen some people that are hating on it because they're making Moon Knight. There's like MCU like feels to it. You know, I sure. think people were expecting like more Daredevil rather than like an MCU project.
Didn't they drop an F-bomb in this episode?
I was looking for it.
Oh, but you didn't see
I didn't it? Hear it. I think people are speculating that with like, while he was fighting maybe, and he like grunted and maybe said the F word. But I had it with captions on and nowhere in there did it have the F bomb in there.
Maybe they like blurted out.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
They censored it.
But I was like casually looking for that because I'm like, that'd be cool if the first fuck in Marvel is from Moon Knight.
Yeah.
But there's all they keep some of the horror aspects or the, I don't know.
Did I say scary fucking stuff. Like Daredevil or anything? I mean, I know that's not technically MCU, but like
it's MCU.
Like it is it now,
but it's it, yeah.
They definitely
I know what you mean.
Planning on like putting it together,
you but
know?
None of the like huge Marvel stuff has had an F word in it.
So. Yeah, movies and shit.
But a lot of fun.
Cool.
You should check it out.
I sure will. We'll talk about it next week.
Yes. And I think that's everything. Pretty much, we just got to figure out what we're going to read next week, Daniel.
Nathan, you know what next week is.
What is next week?
It's my birthday week.
Oh, shit. You get to pick something.
Yeah.
Our thing where we pick things already, but
yeah,
you
but
have
I
to,
get to pick and you can't say anything about
and
it.
And I can't say no. Yeah, that's
so,
the big caveat.
So I didn't have like the pleasure of like just picking something that I've been telling you to read and like something that you might not like or whatever.
Okay.
Because I asked Sarah to come on the podcast and be a guest next week.
Okay.
And so I was thinking about that, something that she might like in something that might be like a decent intro to like the medium, because she ever since we started dating she's like refused
to read comics.
I don't know why. She reads books and shit. I'm like, this one's just got pictures.
Yeah, it's easier
and
it's
so quicker. She's just been like, I don't know why she's been such a brat about it, but but she said like for my birthday she'll read the comic and then come on the podcast next week.
Okay,
so she's a big Harry Potter person. She watches all of it. Okay. So I thought the best thing that isn't like superhero and stuff like that was The Magic Order.
Oh, okay.
By Mark Miller and Oliver Coipel.
There's a lot of nudity in that. It's not very Harry Potter, Daniel.
Sure is. I know. No, this is this ain't your daddy's Harry Potter. This is good stuff. This is This new age.
This is the Harry Potter with daddies in it.
Yeah. Okay. Have you read any of it?
I read like the first issue.
I think I read like the first two or something. I think I have it all actually. But yeah, so we're gonna do the magic order next week.
That's a good choice.
Sarah's gonna be on the pod.
Gonna be a good time.
Yeah, so deal with that,
Nathan. She has to listen to us talk about comic book news and be like, I don't know what you're saying.
She might not even be there. She might be like, I'll just wait until my turn comes.
Okay, that makes sense.
We'll see.
Okay, I'm excited for that then.
Yeah, me too.
Well, then we're going to have Sophie on and we'll read like Berserker or something.
Or does she like Berserker?
She loves it. Yeah, it's right there on her desk.
Oh, that Berserker. Okay, yeah.
What were you thinking of? Berserker like, Unbound?
Like the anime.
Oh, no. We're not going to read a manga.
Unless you would.
Yeah, no. That works. That's too. The Keanu Reeves one, or she'll probably do like Constantine or something. We'll figure it out. But
Constantine. I wonder.
That's like her favorite movie.
Should we do if we were to do that, should we do like the Garth Ennis one? Because that's like kind of our long run, but I guess we could do a first trade kind of thing.
I'd have to do research.
Because I think those trades are like long, like nine issues.
Or maybe
issues
like the New 52 one.
Meh.
Well,
maybe.
We'll see.
Okay.
Because I don't think Berserker has a trade. I could be wrong about that, but I don't know if it does.
Isn't it on like issue like seven?
It's on eight, I think.
It's got to have a trade, right?
I would think so. I'll have to look it up.
What, they don't like money?
I don't know. Keanu Reeves doesn't need it.
Yeah, no.
So.
All right, well.
Cool. Well, that's the show for this week, everybody.
Show is.
Thanks for listening. If you want to give us some comic book recommendations like Sam did, you can email us at tradewaiterspod@gmail.com or tweet at us at tradewaiterspod. But in general, you should just follow us at tradewaiterspod.
You can follow us on TikTok at Trade Raiders.
Yep. We're posting original content, not pod related to either, which is pretty cool.
I mean, kind of. We're trying to as much as we can.
But
trying
to follow some trends. Comics related in general. I'm starting to post things on Twitter and be like, these are some artists that I like.
Yeah, good stuff. It's some good stuff. Yeah. Oh, dude, we got retweeted by
Declan Shalvey.
Declan Shalvey?
Which is super cool.
Motherfucking Shalvey?
That's crazy to me.
Because I was like, why does this have 48 likes?
Just doing numbers.
Do we even have 48 followers?
No, we don't.
And so like, I was like, oh, someone important must have retweeted it.
That's always what I...
And then here we are.
Whenever I look at my phone and there's more than like two Twitter notifications, I'm like, oh my God, we got retweeted.
Yeah.
So
anyway, that was exciting.
Shout out Declan Shalvey. Good stuff.
He's the man. And I guess we'll talk at you next week.
Yep. Peace.